Good morning, everybody. I think I have 3 minutes.
You have nine.
I can watch you over there. Transportation and employment. Heard some good things from our panel members this morning, so I don't want to be redundant. I'm from AdvoCAP. What is AdvoCAP, and why do I even want to mention it? AdvoCAP's a community action agency. There are 16 in Wisconsin. Our mission is to create opportunities for people and communities to reduce poverty and increase self-sufficiency. We serve Fond du Lac, Winnebago, and Green Lake counties with some services in Calumet. Community action agencies are all over the state. Some of you may know them by other names like CAP Services, Cooley CAP, Southwest CAP. We're innovators. We're local agencies with local boards who decide what we're going to do, and we're entrepreneurial about it. Our annual budget's around $11 million. We provide a range of services from business development, housing, serving the homeless, transportation services. Each CAP agency develops programs based on local needs. And we do a 3-year cycle needs assessment to see what it is about low-income people, what are their needs, and how can we address them. We're represented on local planning commissions and committees. I'm involved with that self-sufficiency project that Carrie mentioned. I chair the Oshkosh Area Self-Sufficiency Project, where we did the recent transportation plunge to try to educate people in the community about and sensitive them about what's happening with people in poverty and how the systems are working. We own buses. We own a lot of maintenance vehicles and weatherization vehicles, and we own home delivered meal vehicles. So we have a fleet of folks chasing around in our vehicles around the area. We provide vouchers for the transit system and to help people purchase gas. And we provide loans for vehicle purchases and repairs. And we provide loans to help people restore their vehicle license and registrations. Big on employment and training. You can't help people become self-sufficient if you can't help them pursue employment. We're on the Fox Valley Workforce Development Board. We have demonstrated nationally effective employment and training programs. We're involved with all those programs that have transitioned over time, those federal programs, CETA, the Comprehensive Employment Training Act, Job Training Partnership Act, and now the Workforce Investment Act. We contract with Division of Old Rehab, the board itself, Office of Refugee Resettlement at the federal level, WISCAP, HUD, other investors to try to help people secure employment. And we operate business development programs and have for many years trying to create jobs rather than create a competition for the few that exist. We employ about 200 people. And these are the target groups that we primarily serve: low-income adults, low-income youth, people with disabilities, refugees, dislocated workers, older workers, victims of domestic violence, young fathers, and FSAT recipients. So I like to think of specialized transportation more like Carrie described it, to include low-income people. And to me, specialized is individualized, because every one of us wants to look at our own personal needs and how do we address those with transportation. The largest poverty populations, of course, are the elderly, children, and employed or underemployed people. As long as I've been with AdvoCAP, which is 38 years, the largest group of people that we have targeted have been people who are working. That's the largest poverty population. They're working at low wages and still meet the poverty guidelines. They have multiple barriers to employment, and their income is at or below this. I put it in terms of hourly so you'd have a better idea. So if you're an individual and you make $5.52, you're right at the poverty level. If you're a household of two, $7.46. This is interesting because if you're a single mom with a child, up until this new poverty guideline for 2013, you weren't eligible for the Head Start program. That's how low poverty level wages and the guidelines are. But look at here, if people start to make a little bit more, now they become ineligible or they have to start paying for services. Co-paying begins right at that poverty level for Badger Care Plus. At 115% of that level, that's the maximum income level for W-2. 138% of that income ceiling for Medicaid provision in the health care reform law. Poverty in Wisconsin been on the rise. It's at about 12%, unemployment rate at 6.9. But look at the median household income, $25.18 per hour. A heck of a lot different than what I showed you on the chart to help people even get to the middle. We've got a lot of work to do about poverty. When I got up this morning, I had already planned I was going to come here, and the night before I made sure I had gas in my vehicle, decided when I was going to leave, felt pretty independent about that. The people we serve very rarely have that opportunity. But look at how people get to work in Wisconsin. Nearly 80% drive alone, only 8.9% carpool, 2% use public transportation, 3.4% walked, 1.6% other forms, could be some of the specialized transportation we talked about, and 4.3% worked at home. We have to get more people using lower cost transportation. This is not acceptable for the future, as Bruce was talking about. It's a top need. We do, I mentioned, a needs assessment every 3 years, and about every CAP agency in the state of Wisconsin, in the last 5 years, transportation jumped up to number one need for low-income people. Used to be housing and employment, transportation. It's a huge barrier in getting and keeping a job. It's very costly as a percentage of disposable income. Low-income people don't have savings. They're getting by, barely, feeding their families. Dependable and flexible options are often not available, and if you live in a rural area, you're really in trouble. Several people talked about the importance of transportation. Worker mobility is very important for workforce development. I'm on the Workforce Development Board, and I've been on it since the beginning. We do not talk about transportation at all. That needs to happen at that board. We're going through a strategic planning process right now, and you can bet I'm going to. How can they be involved in figuring out how to help people access the training that they're making available in their services? Businesses, I think we ask them about transportation, a lot of surveys, but they're on the margins in terms of being involved in helping with transportation issues. And it's a big issue for businesses, both for productivity, you know, when people are absent or people are late, people get fired because they didn't get there, and all of a sudden they're having to train somebody all over again. How do we get people involved in the community if they're not able to get where they need to be? And that's a big issue for self-sufficiency and economic development. In economic development, people are looking at, do we have an adequate population to support the work that we have for the community, the jobs? Not enough is spent looking at how do we make it work for our community, that the people that have the skills that we want can actually get there. As very important for people in poverty to be considered. The best criteria, of course, you want transportation to be flexible, reliable, affordable, energy efficient, address an individual's need, and something that's sustainable for someone. You know, we went through a lot of welfare reform, and when that was happening, folks who worked with people in welfare realized transportation was a huge barrier. And so they looked at different options and opportunities, but what they found in some of their studies is that the opportunities for people increased. There was a direct improvement in wages, direct improvement in job retention, and a direct improvement on the weeks worked per year. Some of the burdens, of course, have been mentioned. The cost of having a vehicle is very expensive, and low-income people do not have a reserve to fix a car if it goes to pot. Some of the solutions that we offer around state are things like vehicle lease options. Some programs are trying to help move people off of public assistance actually will lease a vehicle to someone for about 3 months. If they last in that job 3 months, now they get the money they paid towards the lease for a down payment on a car. Kind of a creative option to help people that have nothing. And yet we're trying to make them, help them be employed. There are vehicle purchase programs that we operate, other agencies operate around the state. This is vital to help people become employed in our state. Something I'm very worried about with what's happening with WETAP and some other programs like that, that's being pushed out of the, off to the side. Vehicle repairs, every day we hear of problems with people trying to get around in their car night. Something happened with this. And people do need vehicles often, especially if you're someone with children where you have to get kids around. You kind of try to manage that along with employment. There are a lot of people that are looking at this issue. Low-income people, because they have no money, if they get a parking ticket and they can't pay it, they're likely going to get something else. And what happens in the state of Wisconsin, as you know, you lose your license and vehicle registration. You cannot pay fines off over time. So what a lot of people are doing are paying those fines and making a noise or slowing so that people can get their vehicle and their vehicle license and registration. Volunteer driver programs, those are have been essential for a long time in our communities. They're a way that people can give back at the same time, help somebody get to where they need to be. There are employer incentive programs that exist in some areas where employers will provide an incentive to people if they walk to work or if they carpool. And so if they then can take those dollars, they can buy a new pair of shoes because they're walking to work or whatever. That's another way to encourage people to use alternatives other than driving. Ride share, you saw the statistics of people carpooling, not very big. This is something we really need to focus on here in the state of Wisconsin. Van pools, you know, there are a lot of incentives for employers to actually purchase a van and make that service available. There's a lot of tax incentives where they could be able to write off those expenses and help their workforce get there. There are bicycle rental programs. I just read about the one, and I think it was in Madison, I read about a couple weeks ago. But I was sort of amazed. It was like $8. You could rent a bike and take it and go somewhere for $8. Low-income people can't afford $8 to get somewhere. They just can't. There's got to be alternative and lower cost options. We need more people to step up and help with this. I don't think they're being adequately tapped. I mentioned workforce development boards, economic development corporations, technical colleges. It's assumed that because they have offerings for training that students can get there. With many of our programs, we're trying to help people get there so that they can get the training they need. Employers, there is so much more that employers can do. I think we just have to sit down and speak their language better so that they understand how they can be a greater part of the solution. Whew, went through that pretty quick. Thank you.